turn on my mic. Get rid of that one. Hunger. We're going to talk about hunger this morning. Getting a lot of ringing here. So, hunger. It's a gnawing sensation that demands our attention. We all know the pangs of an empty stomach, don't we? The way a missed meal can gnaw at our focus and energy. Some of you are hungry right now. I can hear your stomachs grumbling. I've got very good hearing. But there's a hunger that goes deeper, a relentless craving of the soul for something more than mere sustenance.
Right.
It's the same kind of hunger that drives Jean Valjean in Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. That's what we used to call it where I grew up. I grew up in West New York, New Jersey, right outside of New York City. We used to call this novel Les Misérables. Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. But no, it's Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. I know that now. I'm much more cultured now. But, Jean Valjean was a hungry man. His relentless search was fueled by both physical and spiritual need, and it compelled him to steal a loaf of bread, to feed his starving sister and her family. And for that crime, he endured 19 years of harsh punishment. 5 years for the crime of stealing the loaf of bread, and 14 more years for repeated attempts at an escape, right? During which his inner emptiness only grew deeper. And I mean, this desperate cry for meaning and purpose is something we can all relate to. I mean, none of us have spent 19 years in prison under harsh circumstances. At least I hope not. But I think at one time or another, we've all been able to relate to this quote from Henry David Thoreau's Walden. At least I have. He said this. He said, "The mass of men, and this includes women, lead lives of quiet desperation." The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. We go throughout our lives desperate, quietly, looking for something and knowing not what it is. And this profound internal longing echoes in the words of the prayer that we just prayed this morning. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. We all hunger for something more than mere survival, for a sustenance that transcends the temporary. Today we're going to explore this fundamental human condition and the answer that's offered by Jesus. In the coming moments, we'll journey through three aspects of this story: our need, his gift, and our purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he's the true bread that satisfies. And we pray that you'll open our hearts this morning to receive all that you have for us, Lord, that you'll remove any barriers, any obstacles in the way that would hinder the flow. Help us, Lord, to receive all that you've got for us this morning, Lord, to walk away full and satisfied. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Hebrews knew about hunger. It wasn't too long after God busted them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and signs and wonders that they began whining and complaining. You know the story. They forgot all about the fact that just a little while ago, they'd been slaves in bondage under a cruel taskmaster, and that they'd been liberated by a good and merciful God. Listen to what it says in Exodus 16. on the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt. How long is that? 15th day of the second month. 15th day of the second month. 45 days. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." They cried out for bread. And God, in his overflowing generosity, sent what? He sent manna. He gave them bread from heaven. Angel's food cake. It was a miraculous display of his provision, a tangible answer to their immediate need. Yet even with their stomachs full, a deeper emptiness remained. Right? A longing for something more, something that could not be satisfied with earthly food alone. And this deeper hunger, the hunger of the Spirit, is the kind of hunger that we all experience. We all yearn for purpose, for connection, and for something that gives meaning to our lives. And we so often try to satisfy it. We so often try to satisfy that longing with success, possessions, right? Andy was just talking about the house full of stuff that he had to like whittle down. Fleeting pleasures, the thing this world seems to promise will fill us. And yet we often end up feeling even more empty, realizing that these temporary substitutes never truly satisfy. And, you know, our Old Testament reading this morning shows us what the final outcome of spiritual starvation looks like. The kingdom of Israel had turned its back on the living God. They had allowed their hearts to be seduced by empty idols, chasing after false sources of satisfaction. They had sought fulfillment in wealth, in power, and the rituals of religion, yet true spiritual life had remained elusive. But God, in his mercy, did not abandon them. He repeatedly sent his messengers, the prophets, to warn Israel of their destructive path and to call them back to repentance. But they hardened their hearts, refusing to listen, ignoring the famine growing within their souls, a famine not for bread but for truth, a famine for connection to the source of life itself. You know, the story in 2 Chronicles is a stark portrayal of the consequences of spiritual starvation. And it reminds us that we too easily fall into the same trap. We seek to satisfy our innate longing for something more, something deeper, with the fleeting things that the world offers. For guys, it's power, money, and sex. I know that personally. For women, I don't know. I haven't done enough research. Some of you will have to tell me after the service. We chase temporary highs and shallow pursuits, mistakenly believing that they're going to nurture our spirits. Yet, like Israel, we find ourselves even further from true fulfillment, our souls parched and desperate for the nourishment that only God can provide. So what is this hunger of the Spirit, and how can it be truly satisfied? Well, you know, this brings us to the second part of our exploration. See, Jesus, the true bread, offers the answer that our souls crave. Jesus in our gospel reading this morning has just miraculously fed thousands of people with a few barley loaves and fish. And moving beyond our gospel reading this morning, further on in chapter 6, we read that the next day, the crowd, well, they go looking for Jesus again. And listen to verse 26 from the Message. John chapter 6, verse 26 from the Message says this: Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free." It's in this moment that Jesus shifts the conversation, declaring something astounding. In verse 35, he says this: "I am the bread of life." He says, you know, you came looking for more bread because I fed you and for free, but I am the bread of life. And this wasn't a mere claim to be another source of physical sustenance. Jesus was pointing to something far deeper, something the manna in the desert could never provide. He used the imagery, the powerful imagery of bread, to illustrate that he embodied within himself the spiritual nourishment that our souls so desperately crave. Bread, as you probably all know, was one of the daily staples of everyday life in the culture at this time. It was one of the things that you could count on being at every table every day. Unlike the Israelites, who experienced temporary relief when they ate the manna, Jesus offers a feast that satisfies not just for a day, but for eternity. His gift isn't a set of rules, a religious formula, or external rituals. Listen, Jesus offers us himself, his very presence, as the source of spiritual wholeness and eternal life. When we accept this bread of life, when we truly feast on the truth of who he is, something profound occurs within us. The words of Ephesians 2 illuminate this transformation. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Before Christ, we were spiritually dead, starving souls, trapped in a cycle of seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places. Heard that song? "Looking for love in all the wrong places." Right? But through his unfathomable grace, a gift that we could never earn, we are born again into new life. And this isn't just about forgiveness of sins. I mean, that's pretty essential, okay? Forgiveness of sins is pretty essential. Would you think that's important? Yes, it is. But it's a restoration from the inside out, a spiritual rebirth. The bread of life doesn't merely offer relief from the consequences of sin. He overcomes the power of spiritual death itself. Do you get that? Just as bread is essential for physical survival, Jesus becomes the indispensable source sustaining our very spiritual life. When we partake of this extraordinary gift, we're no longer defined by our emptiness, by our desperate searching for something to fill the aching void. Instead, we're filled with his presence, fueled by his love, and infused with the very life of God flowing through us. This is the true bread, the gift that nourishes us not just for this fleeting life, but for the eternal one to come. The hunger, listen closely, because this is important. The hunger may still arise within us, echoes of our old patterns of seeking satisfaction in the wrong places. That's true. That may happen. That will happen. The hunger may still arise within us. But now we have a choice. We can return to the empty substitutes the world offers, or we can run to the source of true life, the bread that never runs out, allowing him to satisfy the deepest longing of our souls. The deepest longing of our souls. This morning's collect contained a bold plea. Evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him. It's not a passive prayer, but a call for the active, transformative presence of Jesus, the bread of life, not to merely dwell within our hearts as a comforting idea, but to reshape us and make us new from the very core of our being. Okay? It's not just to be a comforting idea. Jesus lives inside of you, and he wants to change you. Will you let him? Believe it or not, God desires to use us as his agents of transformation in the world. And I think some of us have the hardest time in the world believing that. Why, God? Why would you want to use me? Why in the world would you ever want to use me? But Ephesians 2:10 confirms this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's got something for you to do. When the life of Christ takes root in our souls, we are no longer our old selves. We are infused with a new purpose, a new identity as his masterpiece. This isn't a sudden acquisition of superpowers or a checklist of religious duties. It isn't like, Shazam, and I'm super Christian, right? Or, hey, I've got to do this step one, do this, step two. No. But it is the gradual, continuous process of becoming more like Christ and reflecting his heart in our everyday lives. So what does that look like practically? What does it look like practically? Tell me, Pastor Niall, what does that look like practically? Well, here's what it looks like, okay? How does the bread that transforms us from the inside out actually change what we do? Let's unpack a few key ways. Realigned values. Realigned values. You know, the world whispers messages. Self-preservation. Ambition. The accumulation of things. Yet when Christ lives within us, our values begin to shift. Compassion, humility, a willingness to sacrifice for others replace the constant pursuit of more for ourselves. Right? So realigned values. How about transformed relationships? Transformed relationships. The self-focused hunger that once strained our relationships begins to fade. What's the word that defines self-focus? It's all about me. Right? It's not about Jesus. It's all about me. You know the song that I'm perverting, right? Okay, yeah, okay. So Christ's presence cultivates qualities like patience, forgiveness, and a love that moves beyond our own convenience and desires, right? So it becomes less about me and more about thee, right? I once heard it said that joy, the acronym for joy is Jesus first, others second, and you dead last. Okay, so here's another key way that the bread of life can transform us from the inside out and change what we do. How about purposeful priorities? Right? Realign values, transform relationships, purposeful priorities. You know, we still have jobs, we still have responsibilities, and we still have the ordinary tasks of life. But the presence of Christ reshapes our priorities. Our schedules, finances, and the way we use our time start to reflect a deeper understanding that everything we have and everything we are becoming are an offering back to God. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I was listening to an interview with a guy who was saying, you know, like it was a pastor, and he was interviewing like a guy that he was discipling, who was saying like, I just have no margin in my life. And he said, well, let's look at your schedule. And how much time are you, you know, watching Netflix? How much time are you spending on social media? And, you know, it was like hours a day. The guy was spending like 2 hours a day watching Netflix and like an hour and a half on social media. But then he was saying that he had no margin to like read his Bible and pray. So, purposeful priorities. Now, this doesn't mean that life becomes easy or that we achieve sinless perfection. Transformation is a messy process marked by both progress and setbacks. Anybody know that by experience? Okay. Yet the promise is clear. As we consistently choose the bread of life, as his presence nourishes and renews our souls, we begin to experience something remarkable. The good works we were created for aren't a burden imposed on us. Instead, they become a natural overflow of the life of Christ working through us. Okay? Those good works, it isn't like a drag. Oh, man, what a drag. It's just the natural outflow of Christ living his life in you and through you. So the question isn't whether we have the ability to do great things, but whether we're willing to allow the one who dwells within us to shape our thoughts, words, and abilities. Every choice to act with love instead of selfishness, to prioritize integrity over gain, to serve the needs of others. These are the fruits of a life sustained by the true bread, a life that testifies to the transformative power of Christ. Now, I want you to think back to the image of bread. It's essential, a daily need, the cornerstone of survival. Is Jesus the primary sustenance you crave? Is his life the true bread from heaven, that which nourishes your soul? Here's the 3 points of the message in case you missed them. Today we've explored, number one, our need, which is for spiritual sustenance. Number two, his gift, which is himself. And number three, our purpose, transformed by his presence. You know, we've looked at our deep spiritual hunger, the extraordinary gift of Christ who offers himself as the answer, and the transformed life we are called to live as his presence reshapes us. So let's examine our lives. Is the life of Christ apparent in the way we live? Does our compassion reflect his heart? Do our priorities demonstrate that he's our true treasure? Do our actions testify to his love flowing through us? May the prayer of the collect be our constant pursuit. Evermore, give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him. May we hunger for him above all else, and may his life be evident in everything we do. In a moment, we're going to receive communion. Don't rush through the experience, but take a moment and linger. It's not just a wafer. It's Jesus. It's the bread of life. Receive him once again and ask him to live his life through you, touching the hurting world around you, through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.